Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20, we're going to try to cover a lot of verses. This might be a good illustration of the difference between teaching and preaching this morning. Every preacher is a teacher. Not all teachers are preachers. Teaching is more line upon line, precept upon precept, studying, digging, searching, that sort of thing. Learning, while it preaching is, well, preaching. The title and subject in the bulletin is Truth versus Human Reasoning. The Lord, who is the truth, was confronted by three different groups of men, religious men, often lawyers and Herodians and people in the world, worldly wise men. He was confronted often by them, and the Lord, they could not resist his wisdom. They could. When this is all over, it says nobody asked him any more questions. He asked one question they couldn't answer. And it's the question of all questions, and it's the question of salvation too. This is what our Lord asked when it was all over. What think ye of Christ? So, all right, let's look at it. Verses 19 and 20 is where we pick up. Chief priests and scribes, same hour, sought to lay hands on him, the Lord, and they feared the people. Men, false preachers don't fear God, they fear men. They're on their payroll. They fear losing their jobs and so forth. They perceived that our Lord had spoken this parable against them, and he had. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign or pretend themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, or that is, find something he said to deliver him, to hold against him, to deliver him to the power and authority of the governor so they could convict him. Spies. They sent spies. Chief priests, scribes. Do you see how corrupt religion had become? And our Lord came, and that's why he said, if I had not come, you'd have no sin. But now you have no covering, no cloak. He said, light has come, exposes darkness. And these men that were corrupt, the truth exposes corruption, doesn't it? And they sent spies to try to find something to hold against the Lord. Because they didn't believe he was the Lord. They just thought he was Jesus of Nazareth. They weren't seeking the truth. They weren't true men. True men seek the truth. But they were all about lies, and they were trying to get rid of him to justify their own evil works. Could that happen in our midst? Could someone want the preacher to fail? Could someone want to find something on the preacher to hold against them to justify their own unbelief? And happens all the time. Sad, isn't it? But wisdom is justified of her children. The Lord says there must be heresies among you, that they which are approved might be made manifest. Meaning, there's going to be people like this, but the true people will shine forth. They which are true will be made manifest. Those who love the truth and love those who preach it, they will rise to the top. Verse 21, here's what they said. They asked him, saying, Master, and I can't you hear the syrup in their voices, and we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Flattery. That's all that is. Flattery. Turn to Daniel 11. You want to turn to Daniel chapter 11. Flattery. Scripture speaks a great deal of flattery. A flatterer. Listen to the Proverbs 29. It says in verse 5, a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Daniel chapter 11 speaks of Antichrist and how he deludes and deceives and woos many is flattery. That's what false religion does. Flatters. Lies to people, telling them how much God needs them and loves them, and Jesus loves them, and we love you, and church can't be church without you. Flattery. That you're somebody. Listen to Daniel 11, verse 32. It says, such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he, and speaking of Satan, corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know God shall be strong. They're not going to be deluded by his flatteries. Verse 33, they that understand among the people shall instruct many. That's what I'm doing right now. Yet they shall fall by the sword. They're going to be hated for the truth. By flame, burned at the stake, by captivity, by spoil. Verse 34, but when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help. But many shall cleave to these false teachers with flatteries. That's how they get. Why are these churches packed, so-called churches packed with people of that? Flattery. But if you stand up and tell people the truth of God's Word, of who God is, what man is in the sight of God, you're not going to get proud. With flatter. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2, he said to the people, you know me. He said, at no time, he said, did I use flattery. No time. And the scripture says, good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple, but not the wise. The wise aren't deceived. Satan and his ministers use subtlety, and they're wily, and they use a smile. I imagine Satan had a smile on his face when he was deceiving Eve, don't you? Pleasant look on his face. Maybe a tear in his eye. If you've never heard that message by my pastor on Weep Not For Me, you need to hear it. Scripture says the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. But faithful are the what? Wounds of a friend. Best thing somebody can do for you is tell you the truth. And it's going to hurt. It's going to offend you. It's going to save your soul. These men were full of flattery. Here's their question. Verse 22 through 26. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? He perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt you me? Show me a penny. And they did. And whose image and superscription hath it? Whose picture's on that money? And I answered and said, Caesar's. He said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his word. They couldn't resist that. And they marveled at his answer. He shut them up. Now, as much as I'd like to go into the separation of church and state, that's not what this is about. But however, it is, it's going on today. It has down through the year. There's supposed to be a separation between church and state, and you can blame that on the so-called church. It's become a business. Whenever it became a business, then the government had to get in on it. And that's all because of money, isn't it? The love of money is the root of all evil. And Judaism back then was these Jewish leaders were in the Roman. They were in the pockets of Roman government and vice versa. They were working together for money, for influence, for power, for place, for prestige, for their jobs. And it's been that way in our world for years. You know, Catholicism has been one of the most powerful governments in the history of the world. It still rules countries everywhere. The Vatican is a super rich, powerful government. controls millions of people. And but this question is about taxes. Taxes, okay? And he says, if you use Caesar's roads, pay Caesar. That's taxes, okay? Anybody that uses any kind of government paid for facilities or whatever it is, if they use it, you got to need to pay for it. Right, Margaret? Margaret says, amen. And pay them on time. Right, Margaret? She's our tax commissioner. You know. We got a good one, though. An honest one. But if we use Caesar's road, you pay for it. If you use God's house, pay for it. Right? God ordained tithing back when the temple was being built. 10%. 10%. That's not much, is it? Don't you wish taxes were 10% across the board? 10%. But that wouldn't be fair. The rich, 10% is nothing to them. 10% to a poor man is a lot. The next story is the widow giving her mite. But the Lord ordained tithing, or else people wouldn't have given anything. But that ended. The Lord ended that, and grace became giving. And it's not what's required of us, but it's not how much do I have to give. But grace works in someone's heart to say, how much can I give? Giving, not tithing. But I'm not going into that either. This is about taxes. And we obey the laws of the land. God's people, and we're going to deal with that in 1 Peter 2. But we obey the laws of the land. No one can convict us of that. We obey the laws. You do, don't you? You do the speed limit of it. You do the speed limit of it. No. Okay. We no one can accuse God's people of obeying, disobeying the laws of the land. But we ought to obey God rather than men first. Long before man's law, God's law. God's ordinance. We're under Him. We're under His reign and rule first. And anything that supersedes that, separation of church and state. I said I wasn't going to say that. I did. We render to the government its due, and we render to our God His due. And God first, and man second. Well, here came the Sadducee. In verse 27, the Sadducees deny that there's any resurrection. Now, this is some sort of religion. You may not know this, but the name Sadducee came from a man. Zadok, Sadju. And these were some kind of heretical followers of this man named Zadok or whatever, like the Nicolaitans. Remember in Revelation the Lord said about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. He said, I hate that. Well, that's some fellow named Nicholas who was a proselyte, and people began following him. It's always the case. All heresy, all error is following a man. All heresy, all untruth, all falsehood and lies comes from man. And you follow any man, you become a follower of any man other than the God-man, Jesus Christ, you'll fall into error. All error, error and heresy. Look at heresy and error. Look at 2 Timothy 2 with it. And a sister brought this passage up to me the other day. 2 Timothy 2 on rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2. And this 1 and 2 Timothy are the instructions of Paul the Apostle to a young preacher named Timothy. And he instructed him well. And every preacher should read this often. But 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, he said to young Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study what? Well, study the reformer. Study the... No. Study the Word of God. Barnard used to say this. I loved it, man. He's at home, from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Homespun wisdom. He started out as a professor in Appalachian Bible College, Piedmont Bible College. Now, he was a professor of theology. Didn't know God. He was Saul of Tarsus. Rolf Barnard. He was a professor of theology. Didn't know God. And he heard some preacher preach the truth and just was born again. And he began preaching the truth. They went, the Lord used him. We're here because of that man. This church exists indirectly because of his preaching. He's the one that my dad heard. You know this. Well, Barnard, why did I bring him up? Let me look here. 2 Timothy 2, I lost my train of thought. Look at verse, he says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be... Oh, here's what he said, and Paul told Timothy, study the Word of God. And Barnard used to say, and he told my dad this, a young preacher, he said, the Bible will shed a lot of light on those commentaries. Seriously. And that's so true. I find myself, and the Lord used men to translate the Scriptures. I'm so thankful, and the Lord preserved, gave us a wonderful translation of God's original Hebrew. Great, wonderful, wonderful. And he led these men to put these center references in the Bible. Do you look at them? I find myself, you know, thinking there's a Scripture somewhere that goes along with it. And I look, there it is. They did the work for me. Right there it is. You turn, it'll open it up. If if the Scripture, you're in the dark about it, you turn, oh, that's what it said. We compare Scripture with Scripture, Scripture with Scripture. No one Scripture stands alone. You know, we're badly joined together. But he's, look, read on. It says in verse 17, verse 16, shun profane and vain babblings. That's anything other than the study of God's Word. And they'll increase unto more ungodliness. Their word will eat as doth a canker, a cancer, gangrene. He goes on to talk about, too, that verse 18 concerning the truth of erred, saying the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. That's when Paul said evil communications corrupt good manners. He was talking about false teachers. Chapter 3, verse 13, he says, evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving, and even deceiving themselves. So he told young Timothy, chapter 4, verse 3, verse 2, preach the word. Verse 3, the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, the word. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers have an itching ear, turn away their ears from the truth unto fables. Preach the word, Tim. The church at 13th Street, where my pastor preached for so many years, has a bulletin board out front, a sign, and I used to be in charge of putting Scripture verses, and that's all we put up there. Nothing else, just Scripture verses. And two sides, put a Scripture verse over here and a Scripture verse over here. Just Scripture. You know, that's what the church is all about, saying what God says. Not clever cliches, not man's wisdom, not human reasoning to try to get people to come in. No, the gospel, the word of God is his power. What we tell this world is, thus saith the Lord. Not what is what we think or try to bribe or, you know, coerce people in a clever little... No, God's word is his power. And that's how God brings people in. God said in Isaiah, I will say unto them, come. And you'll come by the word of his power. Well, we put those Scripture verses on that sign. And one of the ladies, the members of the church, was talking to someone in the world, out in the world, and the woman asked her where she went to church. And our sister said, I go to 13th Street. And she said, oh, she said, you mean that place that has all those strange sayings on their sign? Seriously. Because the truth is strange doctrine to man. The fact that God, and this is my next message, that God is God. What is strange to people today? No, he's not God unless you let him be God. And what it is man is a stranger to the truth. He's dead, and he's not going to know the truth unless God reveals him to him. We're talking about a person here, not talking about a doctrine, principle, theories. We're talking about a person. God, a person. You don't know me unless I reveal myself to you. And you can't know God. I can't know God unless God reveals him. How does he do that? He is one way. So he told Timothy. He preached the word. Where are we? Go back to Luke 20. Now these Sadducees denied the resurrection and they were religious. What? Why? They say there's no life after this. Then why be religious? That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, didn't he? If today we live, tomorrow we die, and there's no... Let's eat, drink, and be merry. This is it. Why are we sitting here on our day off? About to be out in the world. This is it. Better grab all you can. And that's what all of 1 Corinthians 15 is about. If Christ died and you can find his bones in a grave over there, our religion is vain.
That's right.
This is a hoax. He was the greatest imposter to ever live. But Paul went on to say, he lives. And he's seated on the circle of the earth right now. Reigning and ruling. Person. Living Lord. That's why the scriptures keep calling him the living Lord. Because we're not talking about doctrine. Now quit teaching and start preaching. So be it. We're not talking about doctrine. We're not talking about you coming to understanding of doctrine. We want you to know the Lord. Know in one way. And he does it through this means. And the world calls this foolishness. What I'm doing is foolishness. They can't stand up to the wisdom of it. Mm-mm, can't do it. Can they? Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 2. Bring on the scribe. Where is the wise man? Bring him on. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And that's what we're looking at. Christ who is wisdom, Brother John. Christ who is the truth. Christ who is God walked this earth. And men confronted him. And they had to back down. You can't argue against God. You can't refute the truth. Can't do it. Get all the wise men in the world together and ask all the questions you will, and one word from God will silence them. Oh, the worldly wise and the wisdom of this world. You know, why would you believe and trust and listen to people that say all this came from soup? That's what's in their heads. Man didn't come from a monkey, but he has become one. It's a fact, isn't it? You'd have to be a blooming idiot to look at this world. The heavens declare his glory. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. What does it say? God is our creator. The sun, that big ball of helium. We think it's helium. Who knows? You can't get close enough to find out. It just stays right there, burning, burning. You can't live without it. If it gets a foot closer, we burn up. A foot farther away, we freeze to death. And everything rotates around it. No, ain't no flat earth. But everything rotates around it. What's that a picture of? Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, the light of the world. There it is. Every day, day unto day. There he is. What are you going to do about that, man? We can get a lot of little spaceships and try to get as close as we can. No, better yet, let's look into black holes. Yeah, that's where you're at, all right. Where am I? Luke 20. Our Lord refuting all these. They said, now, I'll not read it all. But they brought up this scenario. Here's a woman, and in the Jewish law, if a woman, her husband died, the brother of that husband was to take that woman and marry her to raise up seed so that the man's seed would live on, okay? So they brought up this scenario. This woman had a husband, he died, had a husband, he died, had seven men, they all died. Had the same woman. No seed, no life, and then she died. It all ended. It's all dead. Oh, now, see? Now, teacher, what are you going to say about that? Who's in the resurrection? Whose wife is she? She had seven husbands. Don't you know they stood back but got him now? Can you catch their folly in bringing that up? What man in his right mind would marry... Looks like Zsa-Zsa Gabor's fifth husband would say, I ain't marrying her. Huh? But here, you know, here's some seven, and it revealed their perfect ignorance and our Lord's perfect knowledge. This is a picture of religion. There's no life in it. Okay? The church is supposed to be the bride of Christ. The church is supposed to be the wife of Christ, married to Him. They're married to these men, and seven of them came along. I don't care how many preachers you send to a church that doesn't belong to the Lord. There's no life in it. Why? No seed. There was no seed. What's seed? Christ. No Christ, no life. I don't care how long it's been there. I don't care how many pastors you've had. If Christ is not in it, it's dead. And it's going to end. In Adam, all die. But now, when one man comes along and marries you, when one man, thy maker, says, Isaiah 54, is thy husband. And he said, I've called you as a woman forsaken. Oh, you may have been in religion, like the woman at the well. She had five husbands. A lot of good they did her. She's living, she's trying another one. And then her husband comes along and marries her. Now, what's he done? He's deceived. He's now given her life. It'll never end. She's married to another. She's married to Christ. He said, look at it in verse 35. They which shall be counted worthy to obtain that world and resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Why? You two aren't going to be married. You two, you're not going to be, John, you're not going to be, we're all going to be the bride of Jesus Christ. Male and female. He's going to be our husband. And we'll know, even as we've been known, we will know why the Lord united us to our spouse. What for? For the furtherance of His kingdom. Bring another elect in. That's why. Like Ruth. She's married to a Moabite. Didn't last it. He died. She married Boaz. What happened? Christ came. David. That's why. Oh, they caught themselves up in a trap, didn't they? He said, and then look at verse 37. He said, the dead are, verse 36, neither can they die anymore. They're equal unto the angels and children of God, children of the resurrection. You know, the resurrection is not an event, although the second resurrection, when our Lord comes back, and raises up His people out of the grave, which is a mystery that we can't really go into. It's going to be marvelous. He said, I'll raise them up at the last day. Every one of them. Nobody's going to be left behind. Believe me. But the resurrection is when you meet Jesus Christ. He said, I am the resurrection. Then to say, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He's raised us up together. Right now, if you've met Jesus Christ, you've been born again. You've been raised from the dead, from death unto life. And he is your life. You've already been raised from the dead. You understand? As much as we can. All right. In verse 37, he said, the dead are, now that the dead are raised, Moses showed at the bush. You know, we can ask lots of questions that men couldn't answer. But what is the burning bush? Isn't that a good question? What is the burning bush that Moses stood in front of? God said, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. What is that? The bush that burned, could not, was not consumed. Where Moses heard the voice of God. Where Moses found out who God was and what he was. What is that burning bush? It ain't a bush. It's Jesus Christ. Crucified. And yet, not consumed. Our God's a consuming fire. That's where we find out who God is. No, Christ crucified. That's where we find out what we are. Take off your shoes. Holy ground. That's where God speaks to us. That's where we hear his voice. That's where we see his face. That'd be a good question to ask people. What's that burning bush? Moses at the bush showed when he called the Lord the God of Abraham, Isaac, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Here's a good question. Our Lord said, salvation's of the Jews. Good. He told that woman, salvation's of the Jews. Well, but he's not a Jew, which is one Africa. Not all Israel is of Israel. What does that mean? Salvation of the Jews. Jacob. What does that mean? He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not concerned. What's that mean? You find that out. You'll find out something about the God of the Bible. Something about man. Something about salvation. Well, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all that's Romans 9. Election. All right, the last question that is asked by the Lord. And I'm just going to mention it because I'm going to bring a whole message on it. Okay? After he asked this question, they asked him no more question. He said, verse 41, how say they that Christ is David's son? David himself said in the book of Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, Psalm 2, Psalm 110, and Psalm 2, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore called him Lord. How is he then his son? And nobody answered. Nobody didn't know him. None of the men that didn't know the truth standing right in front of him. They didn't know the truth. They couldn't answer that. Can you? And you know, if he's the son of man, how can he be the son of God? Is he a man? Well, is he God? Oh, how can that be? And you believe that? Let's look into that one more fully. Huh? That deserves a message all by itself. Okay.